Good morning. Let's begin our worship this morning by joining together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this last day of 2006. We want to welcome each of you here this morning, and especially those of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning, and we want you to know that you are certainly welcome among us here. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that'll allow us to have somebody contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So at this time, if you would please pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. There was a lot of work that went into the decoration of Main Street for our Christmas season, but unfortunately everything that goes up must come down. The bulletin indicates that we will be undecorating immediately following the service today. That will not be the case. Those Sunday school classes who have agreed to help undecorate the church we'll need to do so after about 2:30 or 3 o'clock today if you want to do it today, but not before about 2:30 or 3 o'clock today. Also, next Sunday, immediately following the 11 o'clock service, we've got some work to do. We've got 64,000 pills that need to be packaged for our Honduras medical mission trip. That's considerably more than we had last year to package. So we need all of the helping hands that we can. There will be a light lunch served, and then we will immediately begin packing those pills for the Honduras medical mission trip by Steve and Josh Skinner and Mary Kate Dula. So if you can, please plan on being there with us next Sunday, immediately following the 11 o'clock service. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Would you please stand for the call to worship? So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Please be seated and join in the invocation as is printed in your bulletin. Everlasting God, the radiance of faithful souls, you brought the nations to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Fill the world with your glory and show yourself to all the nations. Through him who is the true light and the bright morning star, even Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
As we approach our prayer time this morning, I want to hold up in a special way the family of Doris McKinney, a longtime member who passed away this last week and whose service will be today here in the sanctuary at 1 p.m. And also Bruce Higginbotham's son, Norman, who died suddenly and unexpectedly last week. His service will be at Rice Memorial Baptist Church today at 3 p.m. And I'm sure he would appreciate Main Street support by being there if you can. That's Rice Memorial Baptist at 3 p.m. today. We have one more concern not listed in the bulletin, and that is Reverend Gus Smith, who passed away, and that is the father of Devon Smith, who is a former member of ours at Main Street. Be in prayer for those listed as our prayer concerns. We have so many, I'll not read them to you, but please keep them as a reminder of whom to pray for and the situations that are of concern in our congregation. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, Living Lord, guiding Spirit, the years are passing by. We have lost, we have gained. We have changed and grown, and yet the world remains a place in need of your love more than ever before. The world and our hearts need to know your forgiveness and hope and peace. It is still a dark place. Help us live more light than darkness. Help us keep your purposes always in front, that we may truly be your children. You know what we need before we ask, and we know your will for our lives, for we saw your will lived out in Jesus Christ. Guide us away from hopelessness, away from fear, away from distractions and things of dust, into the mind and example of Jesus Christ. Let us mature in our faith in the year to come so that others will begin to notice our faith in small but consistent ways and ask so we can tell of Jesus. Father, we have heard your great commission of old to make disciples and thought it was for missionaries and ministers and others. Infuse within us the deep knowledge that we are all your hands, and we all have your word, and we all are called to continue Jesus' ministry of love and peace wherever we are, at home, at work, in the world. Strengthen us to see our constant witness as a privilege and honor instead of a burden. And Lord, help us witness your Spirit within us as easily and naturally as we breathe. In 2007, lead those of us who are weak and anxious to breathe deeply of your Spirit and be strengthened and more confident in our faith, in our hope, that whatever we face and wherever you send us and whatever problems rise before us, we know you are with us. We are never alone. You will not leave us alone. Thanks be to God. Lord, now hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you, our private prayers for those who grieve and for situations where we need your guidance, for those who need assurance of forgiveness. Lord, hear now the private prayers of our hearts as we lift them up before you. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is our privilege, our honor, and a solemn occasion when we do baptize a young child and ask promises from the congregation and from the family and from the parents to live a Christian life and to provide opportunities for learning about Christ in that same ritual. So I ask you to turn to page 39 as we join together. Noah Franklin is anxious to be baptized. So, and we will meet his desire. Page 39. He's okay. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present to you Noah Franklin Perrin for baptism today. And now, Allison and Glenn, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And now will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and to profess their faith openly and to lead a Christian life. And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And now to everyone, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. To all, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to all the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
He never
cried. That's okay. That's okay. Now, what name is given this child?
Noah Franklin.
Noah Franklin. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Noah, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, church, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's okay. The God of all grace, who has called us to the eternal glory in Christ, establish you, Noah, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And if you'll walk in, just a little bit. Okay. And y'all can be seated. Okay. There is an old Jewish saying that says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. We all have a vision of how things should go, and they never go that way, and that's okay. It's okay. It is okay. I'll ask the young children to come forward now for the children's time with Kit Adkins. Once again, if you want to make God laugh.
Right. Good morning, boys and girls. Thank you for being here today. This is the last day of the year. This is a good way to end the year in God's house. We're going to play a game this morning. I've got several items here. I'm going to put them out here for you to see. And I want you to look at them and try to tell me Which item is different from the rest. You're going to see that three of them have something in common, but then there's one item that is different. Anybody want to guess? And it's okay to be wrong, so don't... Okay, what do you think it is? Great, you got it right. We have an old pair of shoes here. Well-worn, dirty, well-used. And we've got three new items. How many of you got some new items for Christmas? You were happy to see them. They were maybe shiny shoes or maybe a bicycle that was had fresh paint and no scratches. But we all like things that are new and not worn. But here on the last day of the year, we're looking forward to a new year. We're looking forward to a brand new year, 2007. We've got a lot of expectations for what God is going to do for us in 2007. Well, in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said this. This is Corinthians, the second chapter of Corinthians. He said, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. A wonderful new promise. So if you give your life to Christ, then he will make you a new person. When you give your life to Jesus, he gives you a fresh start, new person. We can put all of our mistakes in the past and have a new beginning. As new people in Christ, we want to deepen our fellowship or our friendship with him. So when your parents are putting you to bed at night and they're having you say your prayers and you're reading the Bible, know that you are developing a deeper friendship with Christ and he's making you a new creation. That's real cause for celebration. People will be celebrating the new year coming in a few hours. And I want you to repeat after me, Christ makes everything new, hallelujah. Can you say that with gusto? Let's say it. Christ makes everything new, hallelujah. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we thank you that a new year is coming and that we have a new chance to make a fresh start, to be your people, and to be the church as you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now let us pass the peace.
Old Testament reading comes from Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. If you have access to a pew Bible, that will be found on pages 754 and 755. Hear now the words of God. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes round to the north. Round and round goes the wind. And on its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they continue to flow. All things are wearisome, more than one can express. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at verses 17 through 21, and this will be found on page 205 of your pew Bible. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us.
So we are to be ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these returns, these tithes unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Here now our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke on page 72 in your pew Bibles, the only passage in Scripture speaking of Jesus' boyhood as he grew up, beginning with verse 41. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I want to congratulate everyone here today, and not everyone is here today, but all of you who are here, you have made it through Christmas. You made it through another Christmas. All the activities and class parties and meetings with relatives and meetings with friends and family and exchange of gift and then exchanging gifts that you didn't want and those sorts of things. You've made it through another Christmas. And now we face tonight New Year's Eve. And I have the question for you. Can a new year really, really be new? The scripture that you heard Kit read from Ecclesiastes, a very cynical scripture saying there is nothing new under the sun. A man works and he toils, he grows older, he dies, and that's it. And there's nothing new. Nothing new. But then we hear from the New Testament that all things are new and that we are a new creation in Christ. How new your new year can be partially depends upon you and your attitude, which you will adopt. The Ecclesiastes attitude that nothing ever changes and you will not change and the world will not change. Or the idea that God, who created all there is, can indeed recreate and create in us a new heart, a new zest for life, a new hope, a new ability to love and to care and to forgive and to heal and to grow. From faith to deeper faith, from love to deeper love, from hope to deeper, even eternal hope. You know, if you have an attitude that is only focused on the negative, then I do not believe you can become very new, no matter how many new years you flip the calendar pages on. Some people see only the negative. One Greenwood lady, raise your hand after the story if it was you. One Greenwood lady tells how after years of persuading her mother to finally have that cataract surgery, she got her mother to have the surgery. It was not as big a deal as she thought. And she returned home from the hospital. Her mother, she sat her down in front of a picture window overlooking Lake Greenwood. And the daughter, with a smile on her face in anticipation, said, "Mom, do you notice any difference in the view?" And the mother said, "I certainly do. Don't you ever dust?" If you have a negative attitude and that's what you look for, that's what you'll see. And no matter how many New Years you flip in the January of a new year, you may not become all that new. Modern psychology has proven it largely true that what you look for is pretty much what you find. If you think the new year will be filled with arguments and disappointments and despair, you are your own prophet. It is within your power to make sure that your new year will be filled with arguments, disappointments, and despair. You can make that come to pass. Studies by psychologists have confirmed that people who see themselves as winners, even in difficult times, as people who can overcome even difficult times, these people who expect the future to be better than the past are generally right. And even in our health and our ability to overcome illness and injury, our ability to relate to others, our future success largely depends on what we expect. If we see more good than bad, then good is probably what we'll get. But even good news can be presented in a very bad and gloomy way. You know, many of you know this, but some may not. We have put on paper and voted by the Board of Stewards, our administrative board, we have decided a goal for 2007 is 10 brand new adult members who will join by profession of faith. People who have never been baptized, never professed Christian faith before. 10 in 2007. Now, it's going to take all of us to meet that goal. But I want you to be careful how you present the good news that change is possible, that new life is possible. In my opinion, it is better to start with the possibility of new life than with the certainty of death. Now, some people, when they're sort of witnessing their faith, they start with the certainty of death. I think we pretty much already know that. Let's talk more about the possibility of new life. I heard a story years ago about a very somber minister all dressed in black. I'm one to talk. All dressed in black. And he was driving a buggy. This was a long time ago. And he was going down a road and he overtook a young man who was walking down the same road. And the minister stopped. And with his dark and gloomy tone, he invited the young man to ride with him. And the man did. And as they were riding along, the minister thought to himself, you know, I haven't said anything to this young man about his soul. So in a deep ministerial tone, which I don't have, but I'll try, he said, young man, are you prepared to die? Well, the young man turned as white as a ghost and jumped out of the back of the buggy and started running the other way. And he said, not today, I'm not. You know, he thought he was being threatened. When you share your faith, don't be threatening, but let us offer the hope of new life, of a new beginning, as Kit was telling the children. Some of us, I'll admit, even myself at times, are not the happiest example of good news or glad tidings or even the new life which we proclaim. Some of us have legitimate concerns that weigh upon us about the world, about war, about our health, our financial security, our marriage, our children, you name it. Sometimes, though, we get a little bogged down like the writer of Ecclesiastes and say, vanity of vanities, everything is empty. That's another way to translate that. Everything is emptiness. You gain, what do you gain from all the toil under the sun? A generation comes, a generation goes, but the earth remains the same forever. There's nothing new under the sun. It's almost like I've already died. I'm just waiting for the obituary. Some of us do remember as we think back, days filled with more possibilities. As we look back, we remember better days. Unfortunately, life doesn't give us the privilege of living in the past. The question is, do you trust the one who holds the future? Do you believe that the future belongs to God in whom you have faith and hope and trust? Revelation 21, verse 1 and verse 5, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. New hearts, new minds, new attitudes. Are you open to God's power to change you? In this new year, how do you see yourself? I had a situation at my former church. I won't name which church or which person this is, but I did say at the 828 service, and I'll say again, I think from my doing this, you do know that each of you are subject to becoming an illustration at some future church, but anonymously, of course. At a former church, I had a volunteer who was very angry at another volunteer. And the entire worship service, it was a contemporary service, was at stake. And the angry member refused to apologize, and she said this. She said, "Well, he's not from here. He's just not from here. If he had grown up with me, he would know. Everybody knows that's just the way I am. I'm not going to apologize for the way I am." Problem was, the truth was, that rude, demeaning, loud, and arrogant was the way she was. And she was saying, "I'm not going to apologize because that's the way I am." When you say that sort of thing, it's got a little bit of atheism wrapped up in it. You may say, "Jim, that's way too far to go." No, it isn't. When you say, "I cannot change, there is no power on heaven or earth to change me. This is the way I am. I will not apologize. I will not try to grow beyond it. I'm just going to be this way, and everybody else better just get used to it." A little bit of atheism wrapped up in that. Because you're saying that even God cannot change me. And he better not try. A little bit of atheism wrapped up in that attitude. If God is God, there is nothing which cannot be changed. And if God is God, and we know God best in Jesus Christ, then rude, demeaning, and arrogant are things that God not only can, but wants to change in your heart, mind, and soul. And so when people say, "I'm just this and I'm just that and I'll never change," it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of belief. The underlying message is that change for me is not possible. Well, God says it is possible. It is possible. God says you can have a new mind, a new heart, new priorities, a new life, a new love, a new ability to forgive and to care about other people, even enemies. That's what God says. And if you say differently, then you argue to your own hurt. You purchase your own despair. No, not everything that happens to all of us is good every day. I know that. But we worship and serve a God who does work things together for the good. And so it's appropriate to keep an eye open for, it sounds corny, but God's plan B. I'll call it God's plan B. When doors start closing, look around, because other doors do open. I have seen this happen. Your plan A is not necessarily the best just because you want it. God may have other plans. When plans fail or fall, keep a positive eye open for God's plan B. I read about a church choir that was raising money to attend a music competition and decided to have a car wash. Now, to their dismay, after a very busy morning and raising a lot of money, it started to just downpour, to rain in the afternoon, and then the customers stopped coming. Well, finally, one of the smart women in the choir got up under a little awning near the road, and she printed a poster and said, "We wash," and then an arrow pointing up, "God rinses." And people started coming back. The business picked up. In Bamberg, this is a true story, we needed a new church sign. So what we did was we formed a committee. That's what Methodists do. It took about a year. We talked about the new church sign. Meanwhile, the sign fell apart. Literally fell apart. All the letters and all the sign and the glass were just laying on the ground one day. And I got a computer banner printing program, and I put across the sign, sign broken, church still works. About a week later, we got the $15,000 for a nice new sign. God's plan B. Vanity of vanities, though, says the teacher in Ecclesiastes. Sometimes we do feel like that. Emptiness, emptiness. I'm doing all these things. I'm not getting anywhere. There's nothing new under the sun. Life is just one thing after another. It goes round and round and round, but I'm not really getting anywhere. Such a depressing attitude. Not at all the attitude we find in the New Testament. It's a cyclical view of history where things go round and round and round, but we're not getting anywhere. In the New Testament, the idea of history and of our lives is not cyclical, but it's linear. We are going somewhere. We are born, we learn things, sometimes wisdom gained from pain. Then we die, and then through our faith in God in Christ, we can be with God face to face and all those who've gone on in faith before us. So it is linear. We have a destination. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, our destination to be with him where he is, the Omega. So that view is a view that some of us might have, and we even find in the Bible, of a round and round and meaningless spinning view of history. But that is not the Christian worldview. That is not. This poem that I'm going to read is more of the Christian worldview. I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life in the last 12 months. All that you sought and did not find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and did not achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but did not dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, "Behold, I make all things new." Who were you in this past year? 2006 is all but gone. Who were you? Were you the one you wanted to be? God has given you another chance to play out all the wisdom that you gained in 2006 and before in a new year, starting tomorrow. Who you are on the inside and how open you are to God changing things, this will make a difference in the year to come. When you are alone in a quiet house at night, with your thoughts in God, that's where the change can begin, when you pray about the things that you know need changing. So often the new year is filled with superficial changes where you just want to change your weight and your physique and maybe have some hair plugs. How much are those anyway? But, external changes are not enough. Real change happens, I think, alone in prayer, when it's quiet with God. I like the story of a woman who was out in her yard working when a moving van pulled up next door. Some new neighbors came in, and she walked over wearing her gardening clothes, and she introduced herself. And then later on, she thought, well, I looked kind of scruffy. So the next week, these new neighbors had a housewarming party. They invited everybody over, and the woman wanted to make a better impression, so she went and had her hair colored. She struggled into a girdle. She didn't wear that often, but she thought this is an occasion. She painted her lips. She applied eyeshadow, false eyelashes, painted her fingernails, popped in her contact lens, took off her glasses. She thought, I looked at herself in the mirror and said, I look okay. Tonight, they're going to see the real me. The real me. Who are you really? And no matter what you do on the outside in 2007, what really needs changing? It's not the outside. You can help your health in some ways, and that's fine, but on the inside is what matters. No matter what your plan A has been, God's plan is redemption. God's plan is growth. God's plan is change, so that we are more like his Son, Jesus Christ. You can do the same old again in 2007 and be like the depressing author of Ecclesiastes, or you can choose the new life that God has offered us in Jesus Christ. And in the quiet moments of prayer, ask God to guide you what needs changing and trust him to give you the power and the direction and the courage to grow. Have a really new, blessed year. Amen. Please stand. It has been our custom to have the parents and the newly baptized child stand with us. If you would like to go get him. Yes. I am sorry. I did not tell them that beforehand. I apologize. I want to thank Bill Fitzgerald for filling in as organist today. And I do want to remind you that we do have Doris McKinney's service right back here at 1 o'clock. And Bruce Higginbotham's son, Norman, that service is at Rice Memorial at 3 o'clock today. There is no watch night service today. We tried that last year and didn't have a very good attendance. We may try that again in the future, but there is no service here tonight. Now, receive this blessing. Lord, bless us with the knowledge that you, as our Creator God, can create in us a new heart, can create in us new zeal for life, new ability to love and forgive and feel in our lives for you and for one another. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks for such hope. Amen.